Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
She has social grace and lives in all the right zip codes. Heidi Dillon joins us to recap season 2, episode 4, starting right now. Hello, AfterBuzzers, and welcome to... We're in an arena, I feel like. We're going to fight it out.
About to get real.
Welcome to the Real Housewives of Dallas After Show here at AfterBuzz TV. And we're talking about this episode tonight with a few different things going on, including with the lady to my left breaking it down with us. It's Heidi Dillon.
Hi.
Breaking it down.
I know,
right? Hi, guys. Heidi's here.
See you.
It's
welcome
so great.
Back.
Welcome,
yes.
Welcome
back.
Thank you. Glad to be back.
Right when you said break it down, they just said down. Down. It's like on cue. Perfect.
There you go. It's all kismet. And who else is at the table?
Yes.
Well, DJ Richie Scott, and I'm back from Vegas.
He
just came back from Vegas. Can see Heidi.
Look at
yes.
that.
Yes, here from Vegas to the studio. And I'm Rachel Robillard, and y'all can find me on social media at @Rach_Robillard.
Yes, so I'm so excited.
And Heidi,
to
too. What, let us know where you can find you at.
Let's see. On Instagram, I like Instagram the best. HeidiDillon_HFD.
Mm-hmm.
Love it.
I believe we introduced you last time as the queen of effing everything.
Yes.
Is that still the title?
But I mean, just watch how you say that, where you put the accents.
Okay.
Queen of effing everything or queen of effing everything?
Oh, all right. Got you.
There is a difference.
Yes. Let's talk about this show. It's 2 days after the Halloween party, and it's still referenced throughout the show a little bit. Stephanie and Travis are going to their new house, mm-hmm. and Travis is just acting like an ass. And he's telling Stephanie that she's really good at mopping, so deal with the pool.
Oh my gosh, when he said that, my jaw just went down. He's like, she's like, it's going to get so dirty, the kid's coming out of the pool. He's like, we are great at mopping, and it's like... You know she would be doing
that.
That was not very nice, Travis.
No, I mean, but I think he should get his own spinoff called Real Douchebags of Dallas.
Bring it on.
He does have a tendency of putting his foot in his mouth.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
But he doesn't seem to recoil in his words. I mean, he seems to just put it out there. I don't know if he's joking and they just cut out the fact that he then laughs, or if they just play like
the... I don't think there's a laugh behind it.
You don't think it's just him?
I just think that's just who he is.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean... Every husband and wife have their kind of repartee that they do, so I just chalk it up to that, honestly. Mm-hmm. And she probably just thought it was funny because that's the way they banter back and forth.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, we're reminded of Carrie being asked to give a demonstration in last season of the corn dog moment.
I still want her to do it.
Well, Heidi, Stephanie says that you humiliated Carrie at that party.
Oh, my God. I'm sure. Well, if you don't want to be humiliated, don't be on reality TV, because it's one humiliation after another, guys.
I believe it.
Yeah. I believe that.
It's all your dirty laundry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, Brian and, Brandy are off to the OBGYN. We learned about the miscarriage last mm-hmm. week. And so they go and they talk about, like, what is it, fertility possibility or whatever.
Right.
She had the mommy makeover, and she doesn't know if the baby will be able to grow to its full size or come out as a preemie. What do you want to say about this scene? Anything? Any thoughts?
It's very common. I wouldn't say common, but people do mommy makeovers. Like, what they mean by that is, like, a little tummy tuck to make sure, you know, get back to that body you once had. Like, I get that. But I just was curious if she thought she was going to stop having kids, and that's why she did do it after Brinkley. Right.
Well, I became a mommy when I was 44, and my son is now 20, and so that stuff, it just didn't go away. So I went in and had a mommy makeover, which is really an abdominoplasty.
Okay.
And what they do for the full abdominoplasty is they go in, they cut you, lift up your skin, and sew together your rectus abdominis muscles, which are usually separated by, in my case, about this much.
Mm-hmm.
And it's brutal. But they do tell you, of course they didn't need to tell me because I was 44, but they do tell you, you know, you can't carry a child after that because it won't expand.
Yeah, it can't expand.
It can't expand. So, I mean, that's just what I was told. So, I don't know.
Because they made it sound like it could still be a possibility, right?
Maybe. Yeah. I mean, she's young. I think maybe she still gives.
Yeah.
But no, I'm with you. I think that if, like, you're going to go in and do the mommy makeover, you're done, I would think, if you're going to go invest in that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun to go through, so I don't know why you'd want to go and, like, wreck it all over again, but people change their minds. You know, you think you're done with your family, and you're not, you know.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
so she probably just thought, well, you know, I want one more kid.
Yeah. And it's not cheap, like you're always saying, like, why do it if you already know you're going to have another child?
I mean, like, I was on a walker, because you're bent over like this.
Yeah, how long was the recovery for you?
Well, I mean, for me, it was forever. She probably bounced back like that.
But yeah, it takes a while.
Yeah.
Wow, I didn't know. I heard advertised on the radio, literally around here, like it was like a local guy will do it.
I was always
like,
Hills, yes,
I was like, what is this mommy makeover? What is that?
It sounds pretty benign. It's like, oh yeah, I'll
it sounds fabulous. Actually, yeah. It sounds great. You know, like they're just gonna change your life.
No, but it's serious stuff. It's serious. Yeah. Surgery.
Yeah.
Wow. I just wish they could, because, I mean, one day I do want to have children, and just like while you're in there, can you just go ahead and just, you know, make it all better? But it's like they can't really. Can't really do that.
Yeah,
and hold off until you're done having babies.
You have to hold on.
Well, Leanne, apparently, so Leanne and Deandra get together, and Leanne told Deandra that she was only going as the devil and angel to the birthday, the Halloween party. And so Leanne, I mean, Deandra's a little pissed off. She's a little ticked off that Leanne lied to her about it, and that she then worries about, you know, Leanne's stance in the social community and her reputation, and of course the usual, the image. The image is really important in Dallas. What do you think, Tidy? Is this a little amplifier for the show, or is there a real conscious effort to maintain this social air?
Well, I think Leanne Locken is the consummate entertainer. So, I mean, she has lots of tricks up her sleeves, and she pulls them out for your amusement.
Right. Oh, and we love it. We absolutely love it.
We do.
I'm here for it. It's so entertaining. We said this last week. It's like, with her going in that costume, it wasn't hateful. It was for an entertainment value.
Right.
Like, I could see that. And the others just take it too seriously.
But this is the first time I've seen Deandra really light up and was very passionate about, like, Leanne, you were wrong. And I was like, whoa, her, like, how she was, it's not what you say, but it's how you say it. And how she was saying it was, she was kind of attacking her. But then she's like, we've been friends for years. Like, it's okay. I'm going to tell her how I really feel about that, which is what, as viewers, I like to see.
Yeah.
You know?
And Deandra, she does speak her mind. She does speak up. And she and Leanne have been friends long enough so that, you know, they both feel very comfortable being honest with one another about, you know, things that are going on. So, Leanne and Deandra being themselves.
Yeah. And I like how they referred to, she's little Leanne. That's how Leanne was, you know, that's her old self is little Leanne. And then Deandra's like, well, you can't be little Leanne forever. We can't be just talking about little Leanne all the time. You got to, like, be yourself.
Didn't Deandra turn into Mama D at that moment, though?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. As we said, like, from last time we were all together, Richie made a great point that you can really see D in Deandra when she's very passionate about those kind of stuff.
Yep.
But when Deandra is in, you know, Dee's office, is as a, you know, little bear to her mama bear, she kind of gets back into her shell.
But it also seems like that's where she got the sort of social etiquette from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seems like Mama Dee is very kind of strict with that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So it would make sense that she is too.
Yep.
Well, Mama Dee is, you know, Dallas old guard, really. So, you know, things were a lot tighter back in those days.
Yeah.
You know, like, you really minded literally your P's and Q's, and that was all very important. And that's, you know, as things change and different people move into Dallas, I mean, those things aren't as important. But there still is a set where that stuff is very important.
Yeah, you can almost sense it when she is on the screen, though. Like, her whole demeanor screams, like, elegance, refinement, etiquette,
that smoky eye. Can't forget that smoky eye. Every time I'm like, wow, this girl's eyeshadow is just killing it.
I admire her, Mama D, and her friends, because they have their hair and makeup thing on point every day, all day. You know, you do not see them, like, out of anything less than, you know, in her case, like, hand-tailored suits and the whole look. So, I mean, that's a commitment.
Yeah.
That's a big commitment, and I admire that.
That is, because I guess they would just never be seen going to, like, Whole Foods, down.
Yeah, not in Nike shorts and flip-flops.
I mean, now that my son is grown, I actually find myself like, what am I going to wear today that's cute? I mean, I have the time to do that.
Yeah. Right. Makeup, right.
And I go to Whole Foods and I, like, try to, like, should I wear this outfit or this outfit to Whole Foods? I mean, who cares? But, you know, when you have that kind of time on your hands when the kids go.
Yeah.
And I feel like we got to learn a little bit more about Dee. I know that's a little on into this into the show, but she really opened up, and you got to see some tears. She got pretty emotional when DeAndra was trying to ask her mom for the business, and so we found out that Dee started working when she's 12 years old, never went to college, and now she's
multi-million dollar companies later. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and married a very, very wealthy man. Yeah, she worked her way up. She did.
It's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, talk about goals, I mean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, goals.
Yeah. So Leanne talks about how Stephanie is social climbing through Cameron, and now like she predicts that they're going to be new best friends, and that she's using her because of the Westcott name, and that she's taking the elevator up. Right, that's what she said.
To where? There's nothing up there.
There's a lot of talk about reputation, and like you mentioned about how DeAndra spoke similar to the same cadence as her mother, and saying, you know, that she basically tells Leanne that she needs to reconstruct her behavior and you know, get back to the new and improved Leanne. And Leanne is like this full smile, just like, but I'm still gonna be me.
Yeah,
she's not worried.
Which is what I still want to see. I don't want her to change completely.
No, no, what?
No, I don't want her to change at all. I want her to stay. I love Leanne. We all do at this table. All do.
I know. Yeah, I mean, like, at the end of the day, we're watching a show. Like, I don't want to... We're not looking for all this refinement and, like, people dialing back. Mm. Like, I get nervous with the whole, like, therapist stuff. Because I'm like, no, no, don't tell her too much. Let her go in the costume. Let her wear it. But, I mean, I don't know. I look at those scenes, and I wrote this. I write a recap for the show at realityt.com, and I question how many times she's really been to this therapist. It seems to me like it's like, you know, it's very convenient what they're discussing to the process of the show.
I feel that. Okay.
I'm not saying anything.
No, maybe. That's my observation.
Well, I mean, I'm sure they have to say, okay, you know what? We got to talk about these issues as it pertains to these ladies. You know what I'm saying?
Right, but is she, you know, is she clocking, is she charging insurance when the cameras are down? Is what I'm saying, you know what I'm just questioning?
Oh, now that part, I don't know.
I mean, knowing Leanne as I do know that she did find the therapy beneficial.
Yeah.
And you'll see some scenes later on that are probably pretty heart-wrenching with Leanne, and I can't divulge who else, but so she did actually go through the process, and I think she benefited from it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Whether or not who paid, I have no idea.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and Brandy had mentioned at the start of the season that she knew she was working on herself, so, you know, she alluded to that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking it. I freaking wish I could go to one. I think we could all use the benefit of something.
I need one.
You know what I mean?
I've been down that road. I'm done. Okay. So
You're all set. You're ready for whatever comes next. Yeah. I love it. Well, the annual positivity luncheon begins. And Heidi, you introduced Leanne. Leanne, you know, I'm sure we saw like, 6% of the speech that she actually gave. I mean, it was a real quick
thing. No, it was really good. She gave a really very heartfelt talk to the ladies, and it was very emotional.
Yeah.
The whole event was really, I'm getting chills talking about it. Yeah. It was really a good event, and these women are just, their strength and what they've been through is just incredible.
Yeah, when Leanne talked about the woman who just wished she had the courage to go to the conference, you know, I really stuck with me because, like, this, I wonder if she saw it on the show, and then that's why she felt that way. But to be able to hit home like that and make a connection is, it makes the show bigger than it is, you know? I mean, it actually means something beyond just, you know, who's doesn't have etiquette or whatever. You know?
Well, 100%. And in that, the positivity was 100% real. I think in last season you saw Leanne come to me and ask me if I wanted to be the honorary chair. And, you know, I'm sort of trying to be done with all that stuff. But, you know, I said yes because I love Leanne. And then it was one of the best experiences in the nonprofit world that I have had to date. It was really, it really warmed my heart. I'm very glad that I did it. And it was all, you know, very authentic. Until we get to the point where we're talking trash about Stephanie.
Well, that's next.
Which was negativity.
Yeah. Well, that's next. You walk over in your boots.
Yeah.
And then.
Boots.
Yeah. And then Cameron is letting us know that she dressed her dog in Cavalli.
One does.
God bless her. She really does live in her own world. I think people are thrown off by her because they just don't know what to make of her because she's just not your average chick. I like it. That's why I like her.
I've known Cameron for a couple of years and I love her to death. But I really, she dominates. I want to see more. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to see more of her pink world. I love it because she is that person and she is that nice. And she's not stupid. She's not. Yeah. I mean, she's actually pretty smart.
I feel like
everyone has said every single person has said that about her. Yeah. Well, except Brandy.
But I feel like I would get along with her really well. I feel we would connect.
Like I feel like I would really like her too. We both have the favorite color pink in common for sure. I love it. And I really am curious to see about the whole dog food. The whole dog food, pink dog food. I follow her on Instagram, so I kind of know,
know,
but I don't want, I want them to keep talk about it more. They haven't talked about it. They didn't talk about it at all this episode.
Well, you'll see when the launch for that, and Ralph and I attended.
Oh,
yes. I don't know if they'll show this, but I'll just tell you because it may not have made it. But, you know, my dog Ralph is a star.
Right.
Yes. And so Cameron loves Ralph, and she was like, before the event, she was like, oh, I'm so nervous. I hope Ralph likes my food. And Ralph is 3/4 French, so he's a big, big food snob. And so she comes up to him, and she was so adorable. And she goes, here, Ralph, will you try this? And Ralph looks at it and goes, like that. She's like, I'm like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
She's crushed.
Oh, no. Ralph gave her the other look.
Not the sign of approval.
He's tough.
Maybe because it was pink. Maybe if it was blue, maybe he'd be more.
It didn't have, you know, Wagyu beef in it or something.
Oh, right.
High end, high society dogs in a high society world.
Dallas dogs. What can you do?
Yeah. So, Heidi, you come with the tea. You talk immediately about the house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Travis and Stephanie have moved into the house. You call it a money pit. Leanne chimes in. It's marsh. You said it was built on a marsh. You know, it's sinking into the ground. Right. So, what can we say about the house? I mean, clearly they got it for a deal.
Right.
Yeah. They did. They paid less than the previous owner paid, and she was very anxious to leave for a number of personal reasons. So she put it up for auction and didn't care too much what she got for it. She was just happy to be done and move on.
Yeah.
And I was there throughout the process of the house being built, and my husband and I, before we built our house, we walked that lot because it was a blank lot, and it's in a floodplain. So the house that was there before, there was
a
flood. And unfortunately, we don't get floods as bad as our friends in Houston.
Right.
But we do get floods. And there was a bad rainstorm that came and flooded that house that was previously there. And the people came home and their piano was floating. And so they had to tear the house down. So the ground, when we walked, it was very, very soft. And we're just like, no, let's go up on the hill. You know, let's get away from the... And it's a gorgeous lot. Beautiful. And the backyard of that house is really, really stunning. And there's a lot of really gorgeous things about the house. But
So you really are directly across the street. This isn't just for the show. Yeah, you're really a neighbor in this house.
For real.
Yeah,
for real, yeah.
And that was actually your house that they panned to as well? Okay, because I know sometimes in reality TV they'll be like, "Not that's not their actual house because of... You know,
yeah, these are like Kardashians.
Crazies and all. Yeah, exactly. You know what I was picking up on.
Yeah.
You knew?
I don't know.
No, that was really my house.
Okay.
So Leanne, back to the event. Leanne asks Brandy if she knew that Stephanie had purchased this house. And she, knowing very well that Brandy probably didn't know. So Brandy said, no, I didn't know. And so Leanne's like, oh, that's weird. A little shady moment there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So Leanne talks about Stephanie, again, wanting to move up in Dallas society. And this is when she explains you have to be in the zip codes. It's just, you know, there's no way around
that's
it.
That's a thing.
Yes.
That's in for a lot of major cities in Texas in general. Houston.
Is that a thing?
Yeah, that's such a thing. Heidi can go into that because I'm not in the zip code. I'm a little outside the zip code.
I'm
suburbs. You know, I'm suburbs. I'm Dallas suburbs.
I'm looking at you very differently.
You know what?
Yeah, I know.
We're
going to
elevate you out of today. Trust me.
I can keep up.
I'll give you an honorary zip code.
Oh my gosh, coming from Heidi. Oh, that means so much. Did y'all just hear that? Did y'all just hear it?
It's official.
It's official.
Yeah. So Brandy admits that her guard is still up when it comes to Stephanie. And at least so far this into the season, and even last week at the holiday party, the Halloween party, I don't know why I keep calling it that, she was like, yeah, she's like, she has been Two-Faced in the past. Like, so even though they're repairing, at least in her interviews, Brandy's still maintaining that she's still kind of keeping another eye on mm-hmm. Stephanie at this point. Mm-hmm. So,
would you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I would too.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think.
I mean, if you're my best friend and you're gone for like 4 months, I mean, I should probably keep an eye on you, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
I would think so. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I believe there's some truth to you know, this newfound fame, wanting to move up in this Dallas society. But you know what I mean? There's something to that, you know?
Well, you guys, this whole idea of moving up in Dallas society, it's not that hard.
You know? Just mind your P's and Q's.
Oh, it sounds like it's a science.
You can have, like, Leanne, we have mouths like truck drivers. And, because it's really simple. It comes down to one easy thing. You write the check, you know? You want to be a baller in Dallas society, write a big check, you know, buy an expensive table at this event, this event, this event, and you're in. They'll be all over you. Trust me, it's that simple. Ooh. They might talk behind your back, but they will anyway, but they'll be all over you. You know, you have a whole group of new friends.
Right? So it's similar to LA. Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah. So talk behind your back.
Right.
Yeah.
It's the same thing everywhere. I mean, you know, write the check, people. That's it.
Right. I think there's a little bit of a mystique about Dallas because we do get the Mama D's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. We do get this air of, like, old money, sophistication, refinement.
Totally.
And then, so to hear that, it's like, oh my gosh, is that easy?
Well, yeah, but there's not, no such thing really as old money in Dallas. There's, well, older money, but
right.
Dallas is a relatively new city.
And gotcha.
The wealth there is relatively new, so it's not like, you know, Boston or New York or something.
Oh, okay.
Really is,
yeah.
Like the old families, like the Rothschilds or what have you.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, everybody's pretty much would be considered new money by other mm-hmm. people's standards.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm curious, the Westcott family, what is their claim? How are they? Why do they have such a high name? Like, what do they do?
They're rich.
Yeah, but from
what? They're wealthy.
What do they do?
I can't remember because... Oh. I can't remember. I was friends with Jimmy Westcott, who's Cameron's mother-in-law, back in the day when I first moved to Dallas. And she's lovely, great girl, has a black belt in karate. She's actually really kind of badass.
Nice. She should be on this show.
Yeah, okay.
I wish Jimmy was, because she's an interesting person. And I can't remember, you know, they were just one of Dallas's wealthy families. I mean, very wealthy.
Yeah.
You know, and they're nice people.
Right, and Cameron awesome. And her husband, they met at SMU together.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember her saying on the show that she didn't even realize how much money he really came from until he pulled up to their private jet and wanting to go out to dinner. And I'm like,
okay.
That might symbolize a little something-something. Yeah.
That's a date.
That's a date.
That is dating.
I know. What the hell do you have to do to get karma for that? I mean, I can't get anything. Never mind that. That's like asking too much.
You're not, you know, a 6 foot tall blonde, so.
No, I know. I'll never be a blonde. I tried, though, when I was young. I did the whole, like, blonde thing.
Oh, yeah, you did the little tips.
Yeah. Well, it's Fantastic Sam's, and I did it, and it was never happening again. So I'll never be a blonde. Anyway, let's talk about someone who has a little bit of blonde. A lot of going on in the hair. D, Mama D.
Yeah, D.
She's got quite a head of hair on her. And so she's already rolling her eyes because DeAndre's very excited that mm-hmm. they're going to be looking at a new, more modern workspace. But D would rather stay in the 90s with her projection television and boombox. And you know what? She is entitled to that. She paid. She worked hard to make that money to buy that TV.
Right.
You know, Dee and Deandra, they had their show on this Christian network, mm-hmm. and they were kind enough to have me on several occasions, and that set was just so funny. I loved being on that show. They were great. But, you know, as a more mature person, shall we say, it's hard to change, you know?
Right.
It's hard to embrace new ideas when you get older, mm-hmm. you know? Like, I hang out with cool guys like you so that I can maybe stay with it a little more, but it is. I get where Dee's coming from.
Yeah, I mean, it was revealed. Her age was revealed.
I was shocked that her age was revealed.
Yeah.
Right?
Very casually.
Yeah.
Very casually. It's like, oh, yeah, we just, you know, we got to make some changes. And, you know, but she's 76. I was like, wait.
Just like
right? Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, hold on.
That, you know, those girls, they don't talk about their age.
No.
I do. I always tell people I'm a year older than I really am because then they'll go, oh, my God, you don't look 65. I'm like...
I know.
That was great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to be disrespectful to Mama D, because I told you, my goal is just to get in touch with her in the process of this show in some shape or form. So I don't want to be disrespectful to Mama D, but good for you for looking that good at your age.
Fabulous.
She looks great. Yeah.
That smoky eye, I know I said it already, I'm going to say it again. D, that smoky eye, teach me your ways. Teach it.
I just want a spinoff with them, like, just totally cool. Restructuring the business and upgrading everything. I want to see all of that.
Yeah.
I have to say, I'm genuinely interested.
I am too.
Those scenes at the lab, and, like, she's trying to promote these new, create new products. I'm like, I want to know if they're going to do it.
Right.
Yeah. You know, back in the day, they were carried by Whole Foods, Hard Night, Good Morning, which I love the name of that brand, Hard Night,
I love
Good
it too.
Morning. Mm-hmm. And they were carried at Whole Foods, and Mama D and Deandra would go run around to the various Whole Foods and do PAs.
Wow.
And so they, you know, I'd be like doing my little grocery shopping and I'd be like, hey, what are you guys doing here? Mm-hmm. It was cute.
Yeah.
That's nice. Mm-hmm. So Dee says that she'll tell Deandra when she's ready to upgrade the office.
Right.
So we're not getting anywhere with that. Then Deandra complains about how she wanted a new computer to work from home. And, you know, there's zero sympathy given.
Right.
You know, Deandra basically, she's not... According to Dee, she's not respected by her employees, mm-hmm. and that's her problem. And, you know, Deandra says, look, well, they're going to jump for you because you sign their checks.
Right.
So it's a little different when I need something. You know, we don't hold the same position, which I can totally get, given that I am, like, and I'm not saying that Deandra's, like, not superior in her business, but, I mean, I'm the last to be taken care of in my office. So I get it when you, like, don't have the control to get what you need. Mm. It's frustrating.
And Mama D was saying, well, you should have just pulled out the company credit card if that's what you really wanted. And then, but Deandra was like, but her name is on it. You know, these names on it. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Didn't she warn her not to use the card, though?
Originally?
That's why I'm confused, right?
When she said that.
You know, basically saying you can't take fiduciary responsibility, but use a card, but don't use a card. I don't know.
Right.
I believe Mama D wants her to work in the office.
Oh, is that what it is?
I really believe that.
Maybe you're right.
Mm-hmm. I think she... And then I feel like the employees would respect her because they would see her there
see
working.
Her on a daily basis.
You know what I mean?
Have face-to-face time.
People need to see you working in order to respect you. That's what I think.
Mm-hmm. I feel that.
Oh, I totally agree. Yeah.
I agree. Well, Stephanie and Brandy go back on they go on a first date,
mm-hmm.
and they discuss the new house. You know, she confirms this with Brandy.
Right.
And Brandy lets her know that the other women were gossiping about it, so it's out there.
This gossip? This
one brought it up. And so Stephanie denies just looking to move up her social game. Like, mm-hmm. she denies the whole thing and says, no, it's about the kids' school, it's not about this. You know, we've talked about that. And then I forgot that Brandy is a world-class mimicker.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, right? So, and she did a pretty good job on camera.
She did a pretty good job.
I kind of liked it. It was the lips are what really got me going. I'm like, goodness.
Yeah, I feel like if you could get Cameron down, I feel like it's pretty simple because she has a certain, like, rise and fall mm-hmm. to her statements.
Yeah, she definitely has a cadence.
Yes. I'm waiting for Amy Phillips, the comedian who covers a lot of the Housewives, to do her.
I like that.
Because I feel like she could pull it off quite well.
Right.
So Deandra is admitting to her husband that she really is scared of her mother. And I was hoping that wasn't the case because it's hard to have a good relationship.
It wasn't apparent.
I know, but I was hoping it was not that bad. But if she's admitting it, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The first step to getting over a problem.
I mean, she's intimidating, but I don't know if you know. Do you want to be afraid of your own mother? I mean, you know what I mean?
I think she was just overstating that. I mean, they're very close.
Yeah.
I just, you know, Mama D is in charge, and Deandra respects that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I do get the vibe, though, that those two are a lot more close than it appears.
Yeah.
They seem to, I mean, if they're working closely together, I mean, they can't have a relationship like that. They just can't.
Especially when she's like, is that a new dress? You're like, yes, Mom. Of course. Why did I even ask? Everything's new.
Yeah.
I loved that part.
I love it.
Why'd I ask? Everything is new.
I felt bad because on social media, someone tweeted Andy and was like, oh my God, I'm loving Deandra on the show. She's such a good casting. She's such a great choice. And then he wrote back to that and was like, because they put an at Deandra, so she saw it. And then Andy wrote back, yeah, but have you seen her mother? And then so Deandra wrote back to that and said, damn, what am I, chopped liver? I mean, I felt like that was a little, you know, I mean, she's the housewife. You know, we love Dee, but, you know, DeAngelo's the housewife.
Look, I mean, remember Miami, Mama Elsa.
My favorite. Oh my God.
I couldn't take it.
She was hilarious.
Hilarious.
Oof, that one freaked me out.
Yeah.
I loved her.
Yeah. Is she still alive? Do we know if she's still alive?
I believe
I can ask
she
my
is.
My friends who produced the show season one. I'll ask
oh,
them.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious. I know that she had like a lot of health problems. That's
I wish they
would
have came back
to around. Yeah.
I love that show.
Yeah. So I wrote no social grace. Oh, because this is Cameron. We're talking. Cameron's referring to Brandy,
right.
Not opening up. She says that I haven't seen any social grace from her at all. And they have the flashback of the one moment where she told her she should not enter a talent or whatever. I'll put you in one that you don't have to have a talent. I'm like, okay, we need to build a little bit more of a case before we can write Brandy off as a classless bitch.
Yes.
Like, I mean, we need to have a little bit more time.
I think she's building that case.
Well, yeah, well, we'll get to the end.
I think they just need some alone time together. It seems like every time it's just been a group setting, and I feel like the best way to get to know someone is by, you know, individually being with them.
They don't know each other.
So they wouldn't even
know each other previously.
That's
all
I'm saying.
I don't think so at all, no. I mean, you have to understand that, you know, these, like, Brandy and Stephanie live in the suburbs.
Okay.
And so, you know, and Carrie, she is a full-time job. So they weren't really part of the same crowd.
Right, right.
I just didn't know who they were. You know, I think Deandra knew Carrie from something or other, but, you know, that was about it.
Okay, that makes sense. And so, yeah. But you think why can't they just, maybe is it because they both individually have such big egos on themselves and they don't really want to crack to, like, who can.
I mean, you know, just look at them. Do you really see them being friends?
No.
Certain people don't vibe. Yeah.
Have you ever just met somebody and you're just like,
quite often, yeah.
No, I try to be nice to people. I don't know.
Well, it's not about not being nice to them. I think it's sometimes you just.
Like, I just know I'm not going to be your friend.
Then you just don't vibe with them.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That's it.
You can try to be nice, but, like, you're just probably not going to call them tomorrow.
Yeah, like, with me, like, guys who are just sports nuts, like, I wouldn't know what to say. That's their only world. I can't connect to them on anything else. Then we don't vibe. Like, I can't build a relationship if you only care about, like, teammates and, like, all the stuff. Like, I just, you know, that's my thing. It doesn't mean I, like, don't like them. It's just, like, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, and there is a pre-existing condition, so to speak, because I think the Westcott family had seen the season one and they didn't like all of
on her.
The story, you know, so
the poop
it was that. There's that. Oh, so I think there was some sort of,
makes,
you know.
This, yes, yes.
Makes
a lot of watching
sense.
Season one, you can already get a stigma about a certain someone.
Right.
Yeah, that's been the problem
with
the show.
I have a question. So, maybe, and you can sort of talk to this, but, like, do the girls who were previously on a show like that, do they tend to feel threatened with newer girls coming on the show?
I'm just going to say probably yeah, because, you know, like on these housewife shows, people come and go like the wind, you know? I mean, you don't know if your position is solid or not.
You know?
I mean, I think they do all kinds of research on the different cast members to see how they're rating and everything, and so, yeah, it's a threat.
Because I was wondering if maybe that had something to do with maybe why Brandy might have been reticent to, like, really get Nick. Like,
well, I mean, look, Cameron comes from a, you know, like somebody said on there's rich people and then there's wealthy people. Deandra's family and Cameron's family, they're very wealthy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, some people are intimidated by that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating.
Yeah.
And she's also just so tall and gorgeous, too.
Yeah, she's tall and gorgeous,
So.
Well, yeah, she also said that perhaps Brandy was intimidated because she lives in the suburbs. You know, it's like, it's always about these locations.
Location.
True.
Yeah, well, I just want to talk more about the house since you have so much intel. Now, that house is in, like you told me offline, it was on a private drive, that Stephanie's house was also where you live. So that is like the street, I assume, to be seen on. Is that true?
No, actually, the street is pretty much unknown because it's the only private street in Dallas. It's very, very small. I mean, I don't even know how many houses, like 12 houses or something. And people really aren't aware that the street exists, which is what I liked about it. Oh, my good. Because there's the showy streets in Dallas, like Armstrong and Beverly. And, you know, there's the, you know, Old Highland Park and places like that that are, you know, very prominent and showy. But this street is very you know, down low, on the down low, and it's very beautiful. And it's in Turtle Creek, which is between Highland Park and Uptown area. So it's that Turtle Creek doesn't have many houses. It has apartment buildings. So people don't even think, if you say, I live in Turtle Creek, they go, oh, which apartment building do you live in? Because across on Turtle Creek Boulevard, there's all these high-rises, and then there's our teeny little street right on the creek, and it has swans, like you saw, and ducks, and, you know. But it, the creek is very, very dangerous there. Last year, there was a flood again, and a police officer, he got swept into the creek, and there's a bridge at the end of our street, and his car got stuck under the bridge, and his body was swept away, and they found him literally a couple months later in the, floating in the Trinity River. I mean, so it's that's no joke. That you know, you just have, when it floods, it's like just seek high ground.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, can you say anything about the status of where Stephanie's living or what's going on with the house?
Reports from the field, that would be my son who's back in Dallas. My husband and I have been enjoying Malibu for the summer, but our son goes to college and works, so he's, you know, he keeps me abreast of the activity on the street. And you know, they were doing construction last I heard, and the street was very busy. And Stephanie, my son told me that Stephanie brought everybody gifts on the street because, you know, construction was blocking traffic and everything. So that was really nice. I'm glad I wasn't there because it's super, because our street is like, it's like a European street.
Oh,
you know, so like one truck and you're done, you know. So, but I mean, it's construction.
Interesting. Oh, well, it's the current status, folks, on the Holman House.
Current status,
yes. Well, let's take a look real quick. Talking Leah Remini, Scientology and the Aftermath, airing on A&E. And A&E's Emmy-nominated groundbreaking docuseries has returned for season 2. It's out now. You guys can check out episodes on demand already. New episodes do air on Tuesdays at 9 p.m., 8 p.m. Central, on A&E, of course. And it follows Leah around. You know, I love discussing Scientology. and so, along with other former high-level members from the Scientology Church, executives, other members, they delve deep into shocking abuse stories and from the church, heartbreak, harassment experienced by those who have left the church, and speaking out publicly about their experiences. It's very rare to find a show like this, like especially talking Scientology in the business. This season, Leah continues her quest to give a voice to victims of the church, and the series also explores accounts of former members whose lives have been significantly impacted by the church's practices. Remini is helping people take action, turning survivors into fighters. That's really her mantra for the show. And she reveals the truth to seek justice. You can catch up on episodes on the A&E app, aandetv.com. And there you go. We love her. And basically, they're saying in this last point here that people love Leah and that no one's going to talk trash about her because she is basically the face of a movement right now. She's kind of the only one really doing this that's coming out of there and really just taking all the things that they've been throwing at her. They did some interview with Leah's father, and they thought they got a bunch of dirt out of him, and it was, like, nothing. Like, it was, like, they said they have their own YouTube channel, and they did this whole thing, and it was, like, really unnecessary stuff. They thought they had, like, a smoking gun because, like, she didn't, like, pay one of her father's bills or whatever, and I don't know. It's just really interesting to watch what happens that comes out of that church. Anyway, yes, apparently there's a rule, before we wrap up here, but apparently there's a rule that Leanne cannot be in Brandy's house.
Right.
This
because of her potty mouth. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
This is insane to me.
It's insane. Yeah. You know what? I don't think it's true. I just don't think it's true.
That cannot be true.
It's not true. And by the way, Leanne is not over at my house all the time. We meet at restaurants, okay?
I like it.
Right?
Oh, as long as we're in the zip code, Heidi. Are they in the zip code?
One time we ventured out of the zip code, and you know, we got thrown out of that restaurant.
Yeah.
I love it.
And so, and Brandy went over to Stephanie's, and they were able to see Heidi's house, and that's when they prank called you.
Yeah, okay.
I really want to hear the behind the scenes on the prank call.
Okay, the prank calling thing was actually pretty funny. Okay, so every Sunday, my husband and I go to Whole Foods. We go up into the more suburb area because we like that Whole Foods. So we get in my, I have a big old black Rolls Royce, and we drive like driving Miss Daisy up there, and I put on my cute outfit. And so we're, my husband is putting the groceries in the trunk, and I get this call that comes on the car phone, and I go, hello, and this voice goes, hi, Heidi.
Yeah, I, like, my heart would drop.
You've been a very bad girl. And I'm like, oh, my God. I go, Bill, come on. And she goes, I love you, Heidi. And Bill's like, who is this? How's Ralph? And I'm like, oh, my God, that's it. You've crossed the line. I hung up. I was scared. And I called my IT guy. And I'm like, how do you find, because it was an unlisted number, how do you find somebody's number? And he goes, well, I don't know. I don't think you can. But then I researched it, and I found this thing called trap call. Uh-oh. So if somebody calls me now that it's an unlisted number, trap call comes on and says, they get, it, sometimes it even gives me the address of the number and everything. So, no more prank calling people.
Oh. Yeah. Heidi figured it out.
Trap call.
Is
trap
that an
call.
App? It's an app?
It's an app.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I'll like.
Downloading it tonight.
Yeah. I mean, I usually don't get a lot of prank calls. But in this day and age, you know, I mean, you don't know.
You don't know.
No.
It's scary. Like you said, you know, my house is like on TV, and that's like frightens me.
Yeah. I know. Well, the address to their house is online.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can find everybody online.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. All right, and you're true. A public figure, too. So exactly, you would have no idea who could possibly be calling you. And
yeah. Just... When they said, I love Ralph, I'm like, wait.
Don't talk about the dog.
Not dog.
That's a personal subject. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Brandy does love Ralph, so.
Yeah.
There you go. At Zuri's birthday, Brandy gave gifts to only Carrie and Stephanie, inviting only them to go to Tennessee to visit with her grandfather. And Leanne's not invited, by the way, which I was already disinterested in this trip. Because I want to go to, we want to know what she would do. I mean, they're supposed to be friends. So, of course, Cameron's very turned off by this exchange right in front of her.
I mean,
I get it.
I mean, loved seeing this out of Cameron's personality, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think she's going to bring it more and more as the season goes on, which will be fun to see, you know, in her very cute way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was stern, but it wasn't like, you know what I mean?
Ripping her. Yeah.
Right, right.
But, you know, I mean, that is awkward if somebody's inviting you to something in front of someone and giving you presents and stuff, you're like,
I'm really sensitive to social situations like that, especially if me being the Cameron in the situation.
Right.
I would be really turned off too by that. That's not all right. I mean, like she said, you should have done that, like go outside, like, hey, let's chat over here, or like when everyone's leaving at the end. You know, especially if you're going to be inviting people to things and be like, everyone, but you're not going, so sorry.
Right.
And she's like, I know, I'm a mean girl, right? And it's like,
sorry, flying the private jet to Cabo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I mean that.
I love it. I love that line where she's like, "Yeah, I'm just like really busy, like, and I worry about mom guilt with going to Cabo and being at the mall too long." I'm like, oh, "This girl's world."
So good. That was so good.
Love this girl's world. Yes. Well, I mean, that's the recap, kids.
Yeah.
So we can look to next week to see what's going to happen. That they're going on a trip.
Oh yep, Lord, where do you see that? Oh my God.
I'm curious to see what happens. I am sad Leanne's not invited, which is interesting because now that Stephanie's friends with Brandy again, is that why Leanne's not invited? It's kind of, I can see how Leanne could take it like, oh, now that you and Steph are friends again, I'm not invited because of that.
Right.
You think? I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, Stephanie and Leanne aren't friends, so there's no reason why they would, unless forced to, be in the same room together.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm.
I think Carrie kind of goes with the wind, and I think that she's going to just sip the Kool-Aid on the strip and be recruited as a number for that side of the Housewives.
I mean...
this is what I was going to say earlier. I do think that if you're going to take Heather the Bro's storyline, then you should at least have her backbone. I don't know her very well, but I'm just giving you my honest opinion. I feel like, you know, I want her to take more of a stand in whatever it is that she's going to do, particularly with the girls. She's doing it more with her husband, but I'm saying we need to see it with the ladies. Yeah.
I mean, her husband is Swiss. I mean, she's trying to be Switzerland all the time, I think.
Gotcha.
Yeah, but I think she's enjoying putting herself in the middle, electing to put herself in the middle of things too much.
I feel like she has been being more quiet this season. Like, she really has. She doesn't talk out as much as she used to. Because especially with the whole reunion, I feel like she really, you know, spoke up and what her opinions were, but like she even says in one of her confessionals, like, I know just to zip it. I know when to stop talking.
Yeah. Well, that's not entertaining.
That's right? Yeah. But you guys, one thing that I noticed is these girls are crying all the damn time. I mean, I'm like, gosh, Stephanie's crying again? And I've thought about the last time I really cried was when my other dog died. And I'm like, how do they get work? Can you just call upon that? Yeah. I can't. So something,
keep the tears.
Something bad has to happen for me to, like, cry. I don't know.
Well, we'll see what happens next week. Oh, we have to wrap now, guys. So we'll give our final thoughts and where you guys can find us and support our projects online. Richie, what's going on?
Well, shout out to Heidi for our Skanks of Dallas show.
Yeah, that's right. We're Skanks.
Love that. Thank you, thank you, thank you. You guys can follow me at DJ Richie Scott on Instagram and Twitter.
Yes, thank y'all so much for tuning in. And y'all will find us again next week, Tuesday. We'll be back on the normal schedule Tuesday. And again, I'm Rachel Robillard, and y'all can find me on Instagram at @Rach_Robillard.
I'm Heidi Dillon. You can find me on @Heidi_Dillon_HFD. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming.
Yes, we love this chat. You guys can find me for even more Real Housewives of Dallas on realitytea.com, giving a recap of this exact episode, and on my podcast, Grant's Rants Hollywood Talk. You all are invited to come back next week to hear the recap here at AfterBuzz. Yep. That'll do it for us.
Bye.
Perfect.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.